Yep.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening, podcast audience. This is Ken Hodge, and as always, I've got my right-hand guy, Robert Frost, with me. It's 7:30, and it's time for the Tuesday night Kenny and Rob Injury Compensation Podcast. Tonight, at some point, we're going to be joined by Antonio Smith from The Elite Medical. He'll be our special guest joining us any minute tonight. But before we even talk about his topics of conversation, how are you doing today, Robert?
Oh, yes, I'm doing all right.
All things being considered, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, man. Hey, yeah, I don't know, man. I've been off work for the last 2 days, you know, so anything new happening I should be made aware of before I come back to work?
Yeah, I got a couple of things. I've been talking to my workers' comp case manager. Let me pull it up here. I asked him 3 questions. All right, and first question was, how long does an injured worker have to file a CA-1? And his answer is, if you want COP, continuance of pay, you have 30 days. If you're not concerned with the COP, you have 3 years from the date of injury. And now his second response along with that was, and I quote, it does not matter what the agency demands. The filing times are as stated, end quote. In other words, we had an incident. Yeah.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So we had an incident where because an injured worker was sent and got treatment, the managers at the post at the city gate were trying to force him to file his CA-1 right then. All right, he has up to 30 days. He doesn't have to file it immediately, whether he got treatment or not. He has 30 days to file it. Go ahead. What was your question?
You answered it. We're good.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. Your scenario covered the question. You're good. Go ahead.
All right, question number, I see what I did. The next question, both of the following questions concern CA-2. The first one is the number I receive from workers' comp my claim number? The answer is no. That is the tracking number to let you know they received your claim. They won't even look at your claim for the first 30 days. So it will be after 30 days before you receive a claim number, if you're approved. And here again, you know, you have to make sure you cross every T and dot every I, give them a full, complete description, make sure it's legible so they can understand it, or they will send it back to you and say, we need more information. And each time they send it back to you, that takes more time, typically a minimum of 2 weeks. So it takes a week for them to mail it to you, I mean, for it to arrive, and then you've got to send it back, and then it'll be another week before they even look at it. Second question, when do I get paid for a CA-2 claim if my doctor sends me home? There's kind of a detailed answer to that. After you receive your actual claim number, you begin filing CA-7s and CA-7As, for each affected pay period or part of a pay period that you're off. You don't get any money until that claim is approved. All right? You will receive the pay, usually within 3 weeks of the OWCP receiving your CA-7 and 7A. Now, typically, if your HRM at the post office is on the ball, it'll only be 2 weeks. But plan on 3 weeks. And in certain circumstances, it may take longer. If you didn't file it on the proper in the proper 4-day window, it'll take longer.
Okay, because I was I was a part, or I was very much aware of that situation where there was an employee who was hurt, and because he went to the hospital, the agency demanded that CA1 to the point where told him, don't go home until we get it. And, I get it now. So the fact that that employee received medical attention. Now, and let me say to people, you can give it. So please don't interpret what we're saying as under no circumstance give it. Not at all. If you want to give it right then and there, by all means do so. We're just advising you of what your rights are. So please don't interpret this as we got a podcast telling you not to comply with management. Not at all. I'm just telling you, you can comply immediately, or you can comply up to 3 years, depending on how you feel about continuation of pay. That's the law.
Exactly.
That's just what it is. Okay,
also,
I see that.
Along with that,
go ahead, brother.
I'm sorry. Can I interrupt then? Along with that, if your injury isn't severe enough that you have to go home right away for medication purposes, if you feel like you can stay and fill out the CA1, by all means do so. It just means your case is going to get seen quicker. May not get approved quicker, but it'll be in their hands faster, so you may actually get it approved quicker. I have actually seen cases for CA1 in particular approved within 7 days. Now, that's rare. Typically, it takes 3 weeks to a month on average. As long as everything is done correctly, okay? But don't count on it being a short time. The quicker you get your CA1 in, the better it off for you. But as we said, you have up to 3 years. And when I said my case manager was the one who gave me this information, this man has been doing this same job for workers' comp for over 15 years. I think I want to believe what he says.
Hey, Mr. Smith, what do you say about that?
Good evening, fellas. I jumped on here.
We got you, man.
I think I missed a little bit of it. It seemed like you were talking about continuation of pay, CA1, turning it in, you know, immediately when the injury occurs, or you know, you have the opportunity to wait a couple of days. Obviously, you know, we suggest you turn it in as quickly as possible, but, you know, you do have that time period. Oftentimes when folks get injured, all of the pain or injuries may not arise at that moment, right? So you may go home a little later, you know, and feel some pain in a different body part or extremity that may not have been bothering you at the exact time for adrenaline, you know, from your adrenaline rushing or whatever the case may be. So that's why, you know, they certainly give you some of that grace period. You know, now we normally say, I mean, obviously if it's a CA1, you need to, you know, get that tended to. If it's an emergency, go and do that. And like I said, we try to say, turn that paperwork in as quickly as possible. But to your point, Ken, you certainly have the right to wait to file. You don't have to, you know, if you're, you know, severe pain and, you know, someone is shoving papers down your face and trying to get you to sign, like I said, you may want to just hold off until you can, you know, come to your full senses and be able to document the entire situation or incident or injuries.
See, and that's more of what I'm talking about than just being defiant when somebody's trying to offer you a compensation. So I'm not talking, but that's what I'm talking about. Because you're in a traumatic injury, I mean, at some point when it becomes noticeable to you that some paperwork is more important than you receiving medical treatment or than you as a person, see, then I might want to slow down a little bit and you'll get this paperwork when my head gets clear. But if you have a person doing what they're supposed to do, and again, being compassionate and taking care of you, and then once you're situated, maybe come back in. Okay, hey, man, listen. Hey, you feel like filling out a couple of these forms? Now, again, the approach is just the manner in which the approach happened is going to make the difference. So I don't tell anyone, I don't advocate to, at any point in time, that you should be difficult with the person doing the investigation or trying to figure out what happened, taking steps to get you compensation. I only say to you that these are the time limits you have, and if you choose to use them, they are there for you. So I want to say to Columbus Management, you got one over on us last week, but we are a little more prepared should that nonsense happen again. Hey, but anyway, moving right along. Well, we have Mr. Antonio Smith from, I like to say, the Elite Medical. and he's a case. I'm from Jersey, but I try to throw that love at the OH.
Appreciate it. No.
But listen, Antonio's a case manager, and I want him to take a moment and explain what it is that his services are. And let me tell you why. And before I'm going to turn it over to him in a minute, but you have to understand, Mr. Smith does this full time. Robert and myself, this is something we do in addition to a plethora of other things we're doing. So once we connect you with the subject matter expert, the individuals who will take care and guide you through your whole case, I don't want to say don't contact me, but I'm trying to encourage you more to let Antonio be your point of contact so you maintain a single point of contact. Hey, Brother Smith, talk to us about what case management does, please.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, what we do at Elite Medical, as I've, you know, shared on this podcast before, if you're new to this, this will be, you know, maybe a brief overview. If you've heard it before, it's kind of a refresher. But we like to consider ourselves a full service as it comes to, you know, all Fed work comp injuries and, you know, handling and managing your claim. So, number one, you know, our goal is to educate anyone that kind of comes to us and through us, right? Whether you're a current patient or you're a potential patient or you're just seeking, you know, some questions and answers, we want to kind of be that guide and resource for you and can certainly, you know, help educate you in the process. You know, as much as we know, we give that out. That's the first thing. The second thing is we, you know, help injured workers from beginning to end. So that initial paperwork process, helping you fill out that CA-1, which CA-1 is pretty straightforward. Usually you can knock that out pretty quickly. The CA-2s typically, you know, may require a little more effort and, you know, paying attention to some details on there. So, again, that education, educating our clients, you know, knowing their rights and then helping them with that paperwork. And then, most importantly, getting you the medical attention that you need, right? You know, so we have doctors on staff. We have therapy as well. And we want to get you the medical attention that you deserve so that, you know, you can get back to work in a full bill of health, or at least as healthy as possible, as efficiently as possible. And then to help manage and keep all this together running smooth, we offer our claims management department, which manages your claim throughout the entire process. So as you're completing that paperwork, as you are being seen by the doctors, we then help get that information up to the Department of Labor, OWCP, you know, and be able to represent you on your behalf, whether it's speaking to the Department of Labor or sometimes your employer or the HRM, to make sure that everything is flowing pretty smoothly. So that's something that usually you don't find all that under one umbrella. You know, you have some folks that may help you with the claims process or may help you that offers, you know, a legal function. Then you may have another outfit that offers the medical. And typically you're kind of lost in the middle of trying to complete any documentation and paperwork on your own. As I just jumped in on, I heard Mr. Frost talking about a CA-7, CA-7As, and sometimes they can be confusing. Obviously, you know, Mr. Frost has made himself one of the experts in this field, and his due diligence and knowledge base as of now But, you know, first time around, sometimes that can be intimidating. We help with that process. Any additional paperwork or, you know, helping you, you know, properly communicate your injuries or your situation, we can help do that. So we offer our claims management services as a part of our, you know, just a complete package. Again, all these services are at no cost to the federal employee. And our whole goal is to make sure that we keep that, you know, linear, consistent line and point of contact, as Mr. Hodge mentioned, so that we can keep it all consistent so the Department of Labor, we make it really easy for them. Our goal and our job is to try to make it really easy and seamless process for your claims reviewer at the Department of Labor level. Because one thing that I often mention, and, you know, just something to keep in mind and perspective, your claims examiner is not a physician, right? You know, they don't even have a medical background. Those folks are just federal employees, just you as you are as a postal worker, right? So, you know, if you're very complex and, you know, you're using, you know, medical terms that you know, can't necessarily be explained from, you know, from a layman's term, so to speak, or sometimes even if you're using terminology that is solely used in the postal service, they may not understand all of that language, right? So we kind of help, hey, let's break this down into layman's terms, because your reviewer, your examiner, he's just a federal employee. He's just a guy looking at you know, a stack of claims, and if it's difficult to him, guess what he's going to do? He's going to set it aside, right? If he's got 50 claims on his desk, trust me, he's trying to get through as many as he can. If he can't understand something, or it's confusing, or he may set it aside and come back to it, you know, when he can get back around it. So obviously, you know, that's going to delay the process, deny the process, right? Or, you know, the whole goal, you know, don't pay, right? We always say deny, delay, or don't pay. So we try to make that process as easy as possible. So our claims management provides those services and kind of helps you through. And what you get is you get a dedicated claims manager. You're able to call them, email at any time throughout this process to figure out what the status is on your claim. And again, we try to make that job easier, both on the claimant, the medical office, and the Department of Labor.
All right. Okay. I mean, that clarified that. It really did, because I want people to understand that as we come in contact with subject matter experts, people who are designated or here to help, again, you want to go ahead and stick with these folks and try to minimize everybody helping you, as they used to say in the South. Was it too many spoons in the Kool-Aid or something like that? But again, so I had to take it back to the South, man. But you know, but again, once you get in touch with Antonio, again, if that's the service you're going to use, and we just guide you there, then that should be your point of contact. And again, you want to run everything through Mr. Smith. So what else has been happening, Brother Antonio? We haven't been able to catch up with you. I know you've been busy, man.
Yeah, man. Been busy, but always glad to, you know, tap in here and chime in, and hopefully you know, get a chance to join in here a little more. But keeping busy, man. Keeping busy. The one thing I want to add on to kind of what you just said is, you know, whether you come to us or another group, or, you know, even, you know, Mr. Hodge or Mr. Frost on this call, I understand that sometimes, you know, skepticism is okay, right? And it's your job as a claimant or potential claimant or injured employee to do your due diligence and, you know, ask questions. That's why I said we're here to help. We're here to guide you. We're here to educate you and, you know, help you understand your rights. But at the same time, what I do want to encourage is, if you do seek help, then trust that help. So when you come to us as subject matter experts, sometimes we get patients that come in and they want our help, but then at the same time, they're doing things that counteract what we're doing, right? So, for example, if I'm telling you, hey, you know, we are going to be able to represent you and speak to the Department of Labor on your behalf, and when I say that, a part of that is just making sure that documents are sent correctly, right? So, you know, we use the eComp service, which is an electronic delivery method of sending up, you know, forms to Department of Labor. It's much better than faxing. It's much better than sending by mail. You know, a fax, you send in a fax, it may get left on the printer. You send it in the mail, and, of course, it mysteriously end up in somebody else's mailbox, or they didn't get it, or they didn't receive it on time. Well, when you eComp documents, it's timestamp, and it's you can't say you didn't get it. And so that's our preferred method. That's the DOL's preferred method. And sometimes we get folks that, you know, we say, hey, listen, you know, you've given us the authorization to represent you, meaning we're going to send up this document and this paperwork on your behalf, number one, so that it all stays together, number two, so that we know that it gets there on a timely fashion, and number three, we can track it, right? And sometimes we get patients, and then I'm just giving an example, we give a patient who wants to counteract that, and they may want to send up the documents on their own, or they may want to, you know what I mean? So, again, you know, and what I tell folks, hey, you're the injured employee, you have every right, we're here to help, but if you are going to trust us and allow us to help you, then let us help you, right? And don't, you know, take action that will, again, counteract our efforts or slow down the process. So, you know, to your point, you know, Mr. Hodge, I know folks come to you and they're seeking help. A lot of times this may be their first time being injured. They're trying to get as much information as possible, and they may seek several different sources. But when you, you know, come to a decision of, hey, you know, this is who I think can help me the best, it's probably in your best case to let those folks do their job and help you. As you mentioned, hey, this is what we do every day, all day, right? So we're going to know exactly how to do it and the best way to do it. And if we don't know, best believe we're going to figure it out. But we can probably do that a little more efficient and effective, you know, than you can on your own or going against some of the things that we may say. So, you know, we always have, and it's understandable, again, it's nerve-wracking. It's frustrating at times, you know, not getting information that you want from Department of Labor or not getting in a timely fashion. And, again, you know, one of our goals is to give you the information. And, you know, a part of that comes a lot of easing of the minds, right? You know, one of the things that I, you know, really, really take pride in is, you know, helping our clients just calm down, understand the process. The process is the process, and we've been doing it for a number of years. We understand the process, and we understand how it works and how to get things done. And so we're here to help those folks who may not understand the process and are a little intimidated or frustrated with the process. Hey, we're here to help, so let us help.
Okay, and I want you to know I'm all in favor of that. So again, once you contact the man, stay with the man. What else is going on, Robert? Anything else we need to bring to the table tonight?
Just basically an observation on my part. I was, again, as I was, I got this information from my case manager. All right, there are approximately 50,000 case managers across the country for workers' comp. And they handle an average of over 3 million injury claims every week. So when you do the math, cut them a little slack. Don't cut them a lot, but cut them a little. It takes some time to go through all of that. And the other thing I wanted to bring up, and this was not from my case manager, if you're having issues with your case manager at workers' comp, you have the right to demand a different caseworker, case manager. You have that right. I know. I'm on my fifth one. I finally got a good one. So you don't have to sit back there and take it. You know? All right?
See? Well, so, you know, the...
Go ahead.
You know what they did, right, Robert? After your after your first case manager, they put the word out on you, man, and they did a Kaepernick on you in the Department of Labor. That's what they did.
that could be. But like I said, you know, I've been injured now for since 2015. All right, 4 years. I've had five case managers because they just weren't doing the job. If they don't do the job, you don't need them. Get somebody else.
Now, one thing I want to say about that, just to most people who hears this, now, when you hear Robert says they wasn't doing the job, because we worked together on many different projects, see, Robert made sure he understood what the job was supposed to be first. So the only reason why I say that is if you don't know what they're supposed to do, then don't get upset with them when it's not happening like you think, if that makes sense to you. So if you want to complain about your case manager, then you have to spend a little time understanding what your case manager is supposed to do. If that makes sense to anybody, it makes a lot of sense to me. Don't complain about something you really don't know about. You can ask questions about it, but don't complain about it. I'm sorry, Robert. Go ahead.
I guess I should have brought this up first. I asked questions for a year with my first case manager.
Yes, there we go.
When you call them, almost always, I mean, you're almost never going to actually speak to your case manager when you call. You have to leave a message. And that one little thing that the recording says you have to do, if you don't do it, your case manager is never going to get your message. And that is hit the pound button when you're finished. If you forget to do that and hang up, the recording erases. Now, once you've actually hit the pound button and they've gotten your message, they have 48 hours to contact you.
Yep.
That's their policy.
Yep.
My case manager, the first three, would wait a week before they contacted me, if they contacted me. So I spent a year trying to find out all the process of what I needed to do before I started demanding a different case manager.
And if I may jump in, Mr. Cross, one of the things as we took away from a conference that we just went to recently, in which Department of Labor hosted and put on, and we got a chance to talk to a lot of the claims examiners around the country. And one of the reasons, obviously, and it makes sense, as you just kind of stated, the number of claims examiners versus the number of cases that they have in their caseload, if they answer the call every time the phone rang, they wouldn't get any work done, right? They wouldn't be able to manage any claims because all they're doing would be on the phone, you know, just answering the phone, you know, every single minute. And so that is the reason why most of them has their, you know, phone set directly to voicemail. You leave a voicemail. Yes, their policy is to return your call within 48 business hours, I believe. You know, they're trying to stick true to that now. And they have a log as well. We found out, you know, that they're monitoring that log and that callback log. And so, you know, if it is 3, 4, or 5 days, you know, they're getting dinged for that, you know, I mean, as claims examiner. So, again, that's the process. Be patient you know, just kind of understand that, as you mentioned, cut them a little slack. They're trying to do their job, and that's why that structure is put in place for a reason so that, you know, they can actually do, you know, spend some time doing their job throughout the day.
And let me tell you, while you're cutting them a little slack, it allows you again to practice being real upset should they not come through. So we'll give that case manager all the time he needs. But then when we reach that top, then we'll let him have it a little bit. No, what I mean, just be patient with him. And I like what you said earlier, Brother Smith. You got to trust the process. Until you're certain that process is not in your best interest, you got to trust the process. Hey, listen, this is Ken Hodge, co-producer from Kenny and Rob Injury Compensation Podcast on Blog Talk Radio. We were here tonight with Brother Antonio Smith from The Elite Medical, just trying to keep you updated and informed on Elite on federal injury compensation. Hey, before we leave, Brother Smith, did you change locations?
Yes, we're no longer down on the Main Street downtown Columbus location. We are in Gahanna, so just a suburb, you know, not too far from downtown. It's actually very close to the City Gate location. So for all of our listeners who are out of City Gate, we're not too far from that, right around the corner there, right in Gahanna, right off of Hamilton Road. So, you know, again, not too far from our original location, but certainly a different location and different outfit, but is letting us do our job even that much more better.
Okay, you still have all the rehabilitation doctors and facilities as you had when you were downtown, or have you gotten bigger?
Yep, absolutely. Same process. Same, everything is the same. Same doctor, same therapy. We're just doing it out of a different location.
Okay. Hey, but listen, that's our podcast for tonight. We'll talk to you next week. Brother Smith, I thank you for stopping by. Have a nice evening, everyone.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Have a good night. Thanks for joining us, Anthony.